Let me take just a minute and give a little introduction to the lesson this morning and explain a little bit about that. As you see on the slide behind me, that's an old, a picture of an old sheet sermon. Do any of you remember sheet sermons? I'm sure some of you do. Preachers, my dad being one of them, that wanted to use visuals, and you had a chalkboard or you had a sheet. And I can remember as a little boy sitting downstairs on our basement concrete floor and my dad down on the floor with a yardstick and markers, and I was playing with my Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels, and he was playing with his markers, I guess, and we played together. He was making sermons, though, over Thanksgiving break, I went to visit my mom at my sister's house, and there was a box full of Dad's sheet sermons, well, about 40 of them or so, and so we brought those home. We had a family project of laying them out, stretching them out on the floor. I stood on a chair and took pictures of them all, and so this lesson this morning isn't mine. It's one that my dad preached a long time ago. He was always a visual preacher. He used chalkboards. He used sheet sermons. Then he used overhead projectors, if you remember how those were used in preaching. And then I never thought he'd do it, but he came into the age of PowerPoint and even picked that up and used those type sermons as well. The more senses we have involved, the easier it is to remember. And I want to just look at this sheet sermon that was probably preached 50 years ago. But I want to share that with you today. And there are some chairs up here behind me. I'm going to add this to it. I've seen, you know, a number of preachers do this through the years, and I just want to set them down again for a visual effect. I appreciate how many people came up to me. See, I put a little card on the chair that says, "Please leave chairs here to be used in sermon." But I had half a dozen people come say, "Do you want me to move those chairs for you?" I know that has bothered some of you all, seeing these chairs up here. Well, they're here for a reason. If you're bothered, here's what I'd like for you to do. Grab all the songbooks and make sure the binding is on the left, upright, and the ribbon inside. Take care of that for me, and that I'd appreciate that. That bothers me. But anyway, let's get into the lesson this morning. I want to ask the question that God asked of Adam back in Genesis chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But God asked a question. Adam and Eve had just sinned, and they realized they were naked. They had come to an awareness of their condition. And so they hid themselves when they heard God in the garden. And God called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where are you?" And you remember Adam and Eve were hiding. Now, it wasn't that God didn't know where Adam and Eve were. Of course he knew. He's God. He didn't ask the question for information's sake. He asked the question to elicit a response from Adam and Eve. He wanted them to understand their accountability and give an answer for what they had done. And that's the purpose of the question. It was to cause Adam and Eve to realize what they had done. So I want to ask a question today. Well, actually, four questions today. I want to ask you, where are you today? Just as God asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, where are you? I want to ask you, where are you? And you will be in one of four places this morning. Everyone here. And what I want you to do is I want you to find a seat to sit in that identifies where you are. And once you've identified where you are, I want you to ask yourself the next question: are you okay with that? Are you content with where you are? And so if I can take this first chair, I'm going to put it over here. And the first place that you can be, and if you'll look at the chart, is you can be innocent. What do I mean by innocent? Well, I'm talking about a person that has never sinned before. I'm talking about a person that isn't old enough to discern between truth and error, right and wrong, the lie and the truth. We're talking about children. You know, one of the things that has just boggled my mind as I think about it, because of how much we love our children, I don't know how in the world it has become so widely accepted that children come into the world depraved, sinful, total depravity. I don't know how that one ever flew, but it has. There are those who believe that children come into the world and they are totally depraved. They are sinful. Folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that children come into the world innocent. In fact, what would you make, if children are totally depraved and they come into the world that way, what do you make of Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3? You remember he talked about the children. He said, you know, let them come to me. And he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like one of these little children. See, children don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't even have a law that is addressed to them. The Bible tells us in 1 John that sin is a transgression of the law or lawlessness. What law has ever been written that was addressed to a little child? You know, if we're going to say the children are sinners, a baby born is a sinful being, then first of all, I've got to know what law was addressed to that baby that he broke, and how did he break it? The idea is absurd, isn't it? There is no law given to children. The Bible says sin, if we're going to say they're sinners, this is what the Bible says sin is. 1 John chapter 3. Sin is a transgression of law. What law did a baby transgress? Some say, well, he didn't transgress any. You just kind of you inherit sin. Really? Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says the soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father, listen, bear the iniquity of the son. For the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. In other words, if you're sinful, it's not because your daddy handed it down to you. And if you're righteous, it's not because your daddy handed it down to you. He said, if you're righteous or sinful, it's going to be because of your choice. There are people today in this assembly who could come up here, and if I said, where are you? They could sit in this chair right here. It's a chair of innocence. They're not old enough to obey the gospel. They don't even understand the gospel. They're too young. They're not yet accountable. What happens to a person in that condition? What if they were to die? They would be safe. Not saved, but safe. You see, they don't need to be saved because they've never been lost. You know, if you're in a boat, you don't need to be saved because you're in the boat. But now, if you fell overboard, then you might need to be saved. But not if you're in the boat. And children who have never sinned, they're safe. They don't need a savior yet because they've never been separated from God because of sin. And so they have communion with God and they're good in God's eyes. They've never left. They've never departed. They're innocent. So, you know, there are children, there are babies, you know, maybe mentally handicapped that would be able to sit in this chair. And those that would sit in this chair, we're probably talking about them, not talking to them this morning because they don't get it. They're not old enough to get it. They don't understand. So that's where some may sit this morning. we can put another chair down. And this second chair, if you'll look on the chart, represents those who were condemned. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the expression is used that they're dead in their trespasses. There comes a point when a person who in innocence is safe because they've never sinned, but as time goes on, they become accountable. They learn the difference between right and wrong. That they know the truth and they know error. And they make a choice, James chapter 1. They make a choice to do wrong because they're led away by their own lust, their own desires. And when they give in to those lusts, then they end up sinning. And we know what happens when we sin. We become condemned. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, there is none righteous. No, not one is righteous. And then verse 23 of that same book, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life. So when I leave this state of innocence and I move to a state where I now know the difference between right and wrong, I'm mentally capable of making decisions about what course I pursue, whether it will be rebellion to the Word of God or, you know, compliance, and I choose rebellion. I come under sin. And as a sinner, I'm doomed. I'm condemned. There's no hope in that state alone. I stand with all my sins. I have to meet God and answer to God for my rebellion, for my sin. Sin separates me at this point from God because I have sinned. Now the person in this chair, the innocent, if he were to die today, he'd go to heaven. He would be with his Lord because he's never been separated. He's innocent and he would go straight to paradise to be with the Lord. The person here, who is this you? Where are you? Are you a person who is no longer innocent? You're a person who I know I've sinned. I know I've disobeyed God. And I haven't fixed it yet. I know that I've chosen sin over righteousness, and I can list the things that I have high-handedly done against God and against His will, and I know that it's grieved God, and if I were to answer the question, where am I? I'm going to have to take a seat right here in this seat because I'm a sinner. Well, if this person today, if this is the chair that you would have to come and sit in, what happens if you die? You're lost. There's no hope for you. The Bible states in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, that when Jesus comes again, he'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. If you're a person who hasn't yet obeyed the gospel, but you know the difference between right and wrong, and you know you're a sinner, and you haven't obeyed, if you were to sit in this chair, your destiny's already been mapped out for you. The Lord will come again in flaming fire and take vengeance on those who don't obey the gospel. Where are you? Are you innocent? If you are, you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Are you guilty of sin? Are you condemned and haven't taken care of that sin yet? This is your seat. But you might be somewhere else. There's a third seat, and I'll just put it right here. And that seat belongs to those who are in the church, to those who are in Christ. This seat belongs to those who have, well, done what they did in Acts chapter 2. Do you remember in Acts 2, Peter was preaching to people who had killed the Son of God. They were the first generation. They are the ones that actually were in the streets yelling, "Crucify him." And now, just a short time later, they realize, oh, we've made a terrible mistake. He really was the Son of God. Men and brethren, what are we going to do? We're guilty of putting to death God's chosen one, the Messiah. Peter answered that question as they interrupted his sermon. He hadn't gotten through his sermon and offered the invitation, and then they respond. He was preaching, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The passage goes on to say that they who gladly received his word, in other words, those that wanted to hear him and listen to him and gave thanks that they got an answer to their question. What are we going to do? Here's what you do. Those that were thankful that Peter told them the answer to their question, you know what they did? They were baptized. And about that day, the Bible says 3,000 souls were added to the church. You know why that's important? Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says that in this church, those who are members of the church, those who have repented and been baptized, it says that God has reconciled them to himself. You see, these people over here who are guilty of sin and they haven't done anything about it, they're not in the church yet. They've never repented of their sins and been baptized into Christ. They sit condemned in their sins because they haven't obeyed the gospel. But those who say, "You know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get out. I can't go back to innocence. I've blown that. I've sinned. I can get up out of this chair and I can repent of my sins and be baptized, and I can sit down here and find reconciliation to God. And now I'm back on my way to heaven." This is why Jesus died. He came so that we could be here. When God asks us, "Where are you?" God wants us to be able to say, "We're right here in your kingdom, in your church, having repented of our sins, being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and we are living, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is devoted to Jesus as I am now in his church, forgiven, headed to heaven now when I die. Not to hell, but to heaven." But there's still one more chair that somebody could be in today. And it's this fourth chair. And it's the person who once knew the salvation that is in Christ, but they've become unfaithful. And they're no longer following Jesus. Oh, they initially obeyed the gospel sometime back in their past. They at one time repented of their sins and confessed their faith in Christ and lived for him for a while. But right now, that's not what they're doing. Oh, they may still be doing some religious things, like coming to church. We might still want to put off an heir. Or we may not be bold enough yet to just say, I'm through with it all. And so we still do some things. But if the Lord were to come and to examine my life, there would be no way I could answer him. Because he'd ask me, "Why am I doing this?" And I'd say, I like it. "Yeah, but don't you know that I said not to do that?" "Well, yes." "Well, then why are you doing it?" See, it's those kind of questions that we're going to have a hard time answering. The person who was once faithful and now they're unfaithful, they forfeited their salvation. "Wait, I thought you can't lose your salvation. I thought that once you're saved, you're always saved." Boy, I wish that were true. But again, what does the Bible say? Galatians 5 and verse 4. Look it up and read it. There were Christians that, to whom he was writing. And he said, because of the things that you were doing, and he said, you have fallen from grace. Well, I thought we couldn't fall from grace. And here the Apostle Paul is saying that there were Christians who had. You see, we need to take Paul's word for it, don't we? Someone today may say, you can't lose your salvation. You can't fall from grace. But Paul says, Galatians 5 and verse 4, you can. And they had. And there may be people here who have sin in their life. They've been baptized, but they've gone back to a life of sin. There are sins that are their pet sins. It's not that they've, you know, just turned their back on God and just, you know, sown to the wind. But there are things that they know that God doesn't like, and they just won't let him be Lord of their life. Yeah, I'll shape up mostly, but I really like this, and I'm not going to stop doing it. And I frankly don't care who tells me to stop, including you, God. This is what I want to do. Those people, well, Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He said, there are some who have escaped the pollutions of the world through obedience to the faith, the gospel. But after a period of time, they've gone back. And he said, you know what? It would have been better had them to have never obeyed the gospel than to, having obeyed it, go back into the world. He said it's like a dog returning to his own vomit, or a pig returning to the mire or to the mud. It's not a pretty sight. What the Lord says of people who sit in this chair, who are unfaithful, who once knew the truth and lived the truth, but now they've gotten complacent and they're protecting sins, they're no longer repenting. Those that sit in this chair, he says, man, it would have been better for you to have never known the truth than to leave the truth. Why? Well, there's accountability with knowledge. The more you know, the more you're accountable for. And I believe the Bible teaches that there are degrees of punishment in hell. And Hebrews chapter 10 addresses that. But so you're in one of these places. If I were to ask you today, better off, if God were to close this service out, or if I were to close this service out and say, listen, before you leave here today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up here and take a seat. We'll take turns one at a time. Take a seat. Where do you belong? There would be some who would sit down here in this chair of innocence, having never known transgression, never sinned. They're in God's favor. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. They're innocent and bound for heaven. There are some here today who maybe used to be there, but now you know the difference between right and wrong. You've become accountable, and you've made poor choices. You've chosen to sin, and because of that sin, you are now answerable to God. You are now condemned by your sins, and the wages of sin is death. There may be some that would have to come up. If I said, where are you? Which one? Some of you would have to come up and sit in this chair. And those who are in this chair, their destiny is not heaven. They need to take care of their situation. God has a remedy for this. He says you can move from this chair and come over here. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That'll add you to his church. And his church is the body of people that have been reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. You can live faithfully. If I were to say, where were you living? Where are you today? A lot of folks would sit right down in this chair and say, I'm a child of God and I'm living faithful. I'm living a faithful life. I'm trying my best to walk in the light. I don't high-handedly sin. Oh, sometimes I still sin. I make mistakes, but man, I'm sorry for them when I do that, and I don't want it to be a way of life. I stumble into sin, but sin doesn't have dominion over me like it used to when I was back in that chair. These folks are heaven-bound. But there may be some who are in this chair, who used to sit here, but now they sit here. They've obeyed the gospel at some point in their past, but they're no longer faithful. Oh, they still do spiritual things, and if the Lord, though, were to come, He'd have a whole lot of hard questions to ask that I wouldn't be able to answer. Can I fall from grace? Yes. You mean I can forfeit what I used to be? Yes. But it's by your choice. It's not God forcing you into something. It's your choice. You got up and left there and moved yourself. There may be some folks here today who say, I used to be faithful, but right now I'm not, and I'm not ready for Him to return. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a minute. And as we sing that, I just want you to ask yourself this question. As God asked Adam a long time ago, Adam, where are you? I want you to imagine God asking you that same question this morning, right now, not next week, not 2 weeks ago. Right now, where are you? If you had to come take a chair, where would you be? If you don't like the seats that you honestly would have to sit in, don't leave here this morning lost, headed for, if the Lord were to return or if you were to die, headed for an eternity of separation from God and all that is holy. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, if you've been sitting in this chair and you know that you're no longer innocent, and you know what you need to do, you need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you haven't done it yet, do it this morning. Too much is at stake. And if you once sat in this chair and now you're unfaithful and you're not living right, you're harboring sin in your life, come clean. We may not know about it, but God does. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. If you're here this morning, where are you? And if you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.